Previously on Heroes.
There's a lot of change going on with me.
Really?
It's like when I look back on my life, it just seems like it's not my life I'm looking back on.
It's a midlife crisis. That's all this is.
Pete, it's me again.
I've left you 3 messages. You need to call me. Something's happening to me, and I think you're the only person who's going to understand what it is.
For years, I put my job ahead of my family, and I'm eating cereal for dinner, and a strange man is answering my wife's phone. That's no way to live.
So what'd we win?
A compass.
A broken compass.
The compass tattoo on Peter's arm is spinning.
You can never change the past. It's bad.
If you want to change one thing, that's all you do.
Hero says, I went back to the carnival 14 years ago, where it all started. I am the reason you fell in love. That is my mission. I must go back and undo the wrongs I have committed in my life. Ando replies, but Hero, you're dying and you still can't control your power.
What if I could make it so that Danko wasn't interested in you anymore?
Why do you want to do this for me?
Maybe we're both looking for redemption.
I want my old life back. I go back to my apple martinis and overpaid lobbyists.
Chapter 3, Acceptance. Water starts to overflow from a bath. As it reaches the floor, it materializes into Tracy wearing a bath towel. Washington, D.C. Combing her hair, Tracy heads into her closet. She peruses the racks of clothes, then selects a blue and white dress and looks in the mirror as she holds it against herself. Now wearing the dress, she puts in her earrings and applies some lip gloss, smiling at herself in the mirror. Then she slips on black stilettos. She strides into a busy restaurant and all eyes turn to her. Governor Robert Mulden stands up, taking off his glasses.
Excuse me.
He walks over to her.
Tracy, is that you?
Hello, Governor. I'm back.
Yamagata Industries, Tokyo, Japan. Kimiko says, I need to speak to you. What did I do now? Replies Hiro. Nothing, I just want to talk. You and I have never been close, Hiro. I've always taken life more seriously than you. You were always... not serious? Exactly. But now that we're adults, it's time for a change. We're all that's left of the Nakamuras. He asks, why are we talking about this now? She replies, because Ando and I are getting married.
Oh!
Wow, so soon? What do you mean? We've been dating since high school. Right, of course. Congratulations, I'm so happy for you. She declares, it would be my honor if you would give me away at our wedding. And my honor as well. The time on Ando's computer moves to 11 o'clock. She says, Ando, good news. Hiro said yes. Ando gets up. Ando says to Hiro, you told Kimiko that you'd give her away at our wedding? He replies, yes, you owe me one. Ando responds, the wedding is over a year away. You may be gone. Hiro says, which reminds me, I just thought of a new entry for my bucket list. I must undo all the wrongs I've committed in my life. It is my mission. Ando replies, floating through time is killing you. You need to accept reality. You're dying. It's time to tell Kimiko the truth. Hiro looks up at him. He answers the phone. Dial a Hiro. How may we save you today? The young man on the line replies, my name's Tadashi. I'm on the roof at 614 Kaminaka Street. I'm gonna jump. Hiro replies, that's here. I'll be right there. I'll be right back, he tells Ando. He calls out to Tadashi, don't jump. Tadashi shouts, you scared me half to death. Too late for heroics. My life is over. Hiro asks, so why did you call? Because I need a witness, so people will know why I'm gone. Hiro climbs up next to him, shuddering when he looks down over the edge at the street far below. He looks up at Tadashi. Hiro says, I know you. You work in accounting, right? Tadashi replies, not anymore. I was fired a month ago. I sneaked back into the building. I was too ashamed to tell anyone the truth. Every morning I'd get up, get dressed, and pretend to go to work. Hiro tells him, it is not shameful to lose a job. He replies, in my case it is. I was fired for inappropriate behavior. I guess it all started at last year's year-end party. I drank too much sake, wound up near the sixth floor copy machine, and I copied my... Your butt? Hiro asks. Hiro goes on, that's not so bad, I've done things. Tadashi says, when my family heard why I was fired, they were so ashamed. Hiro asks, what if I could go back and undo your mistake? It's impossible. He waves goodbye with a smile and jumps. Hiro calls out, wait, I can help. Heroes. Created by Tim Kring. Washington, D.C.
Nathan.
Mom, what brings you to D.C.? You cleaning out the garage?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Here, come look. Just what the doctor ordered, a trip down memory lane. Last we spoke, you said something about looking back on your life and it feeling like someone else's. Well, Nathan, this is your life.
Gee, Mom, you didn't really have to do that. Yeah, I don't recognize any of this stuff.
Well, of course you do. Come on, pick something up.
Ma, really, I got
a toy plane.
Here. Used to be a favorite toy.
Nathan takes it, and as he spins the propeller blades, remembers playing with it as a child in the back of a car.
Uncle Tim bought this for me when we took that trip up the coast. I was in the backseat of the car.
That's when you decided you wanted to be a fighter pilot. You remember?
Yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. Literally.
He sits down, still holding the plane, then picks up a blue baseball cap. Immediately, he's taken back to himself lying on a sunbed. A girl in a bikini throws a towel at him, then jumps into a pool. Then she's lying face down in the water, blood spilling from her head.
Is there something wrong, Nathan?
No, everything's fine.
Tracy's with the governor.
Come on, what happened to you? I mean, it feels like you fell off the face of the earth.
It was family. It was a family crisis. It was complicated and dramatic. And it's behind me.
So, you're back?
I'm back. And I'm looking for work.
Not anymore, you're not. I can use you back in New York. That is, if you're willing to come work for me.
I'd be a fool to turn it down.
Terrific.
So what's going on?
I could use your help to ease some legislation through the minefields. You know, cut a few corners, charm a few regulators. It's right up your alley, Trace. Right, baby?
Not a problem, Governor.
Have dinner with me. Tonight. We can discuss the particulars.
He grasps her hand.
So happy to have my tiger lady back.
As the governor gets up and walks off, Tracy's smile fades. Washington, D.C. Noah's sitting alone in his flat, looking at some divorce papers. Noah gets up and goes over to the door. He peers around the curtain before opening the door.
Peter. Hey, Noah, you got a minute?
Sure, come on in.
I thought
You wanted nothing to do with me.
I need to show you something.
The tattoo's gone.
That's a very nice arm.
No, there was a tattoo. Right here, I noticed it last night.
Mystery tattoo?
No, it was a compass. Just like the one that you pulled out of the safe deposit
box.
Mystery
compass tattoo.
I know where you're going, Noah, and I'm not seeing things. It was there. I thought you'd help me.
I don't know. What are we going to do, though, Peter? Seriously, are we going to go on the road and search for the speedy guy with the knives and uncover some giant conspiracy?
Not particularly. You want to get cut up again?
No, I don't. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not up for it. That's all.
Got it. So what am I doing here?
They shake hands.
Sorry to bother you, Noah.
Not at all. Anytime.
Claire.
What are you doing here?
I had to ask your dad a question. He's helping me clear my head up, but good. I gotta go. I gotta be at work in 10 minutes.
10 minutes? You live in New York City. New power.
Ask your father about it.
He disappears. Claire frowns, then looks at Noah.
Just a fishing expedition. Didn't amount to anything, and it's over. Can I get you something to eat? A bowl of cereal?
Ando's on his computer. The time changes to 11 o'clock. Kimiko says, Ando, good news. Hiro said yes. As Ando gets up, Hiro suddenly appears. Ando asks, you told Kimiko that you'd give her away at our wedding. What's on your face? Toner ring, Hiro replies. Have you seen Tadashi? Ando asks, who's Tadashi? Hiro continues, I went back in time. I stopped Tadashi from copying his butt. Now he's back at his job, not on the roof anymore. I'm going to check on him. Ando says, wait, you need to accept reality. It's time to tell Kimiko the truth. Hiro answers the phone, and a voice says, my name is Tadashi. I'm on the roof at 614 Kaminaka Street. I'm gonna jump. On the roof, Hiro calls out, don't jump. Tadashi shouts, you scared me half to death. I have brought shame on my family name. My life is over. Hiro says, this shouldn't be happening again. I fixed it. Just tell me how this happened. Tadashi says, well, it all began when I made a certain photocopy. Hiro responds, but you didn't. I went to the year-end party and stopped you. Tadashi retorts, it wasn't the year-end party. It was the emperor's birthday celebration. It was humiliating. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. Let me help you, Hiro implores. But Tadashi says, it's too late for heroics. He waves goodbye with a smile and jumps. Hiro calls out, wait, I can help. New York City.
Val, before we put that in, the guy didn't tell us he was diabetic.
Hey! I left you 3 messages.
I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. I've been slammed. Are you okay?
Yeah, I need to talk to you.
Can I wait?
5 minutes.
Peter takes Nathan into an empty room.
So what's up?
Nathan moves the salt cellar without touching it.
Whoa! When did that start happening?
A couple days ago. I'm like a Swiss Army knife with superpowers now. It's a new power every day.
I guess it runs in the family.
Yeah, but there's something else.
What?
I'm seeing things, Peter. Memories. Images. Memories, but they're not my memories. Not exactly. I'll touch something and... It's freaking me out.
I've read about this. It's called psychometrics. It has something to do with seeing the history of an object, where it's been, what it's experienced.
So what I'm seeing, it's real?
Possibly. I don't know why. What are you seeing?
You remember Kelly Houston?
Kelly Houston. Before or after she ran away and broke your heart?
I don't think she ran away, Pete. I really don't. I touched my old baseball hat and I got a flood of images of her, me, and in a pool. I know how all this must sound. She was dead, and there was blood everywhere.
You think somebody killed her?
I don't know. If what I'm seeing is real, then yeah. What would you do?
I think you gotta find the truth. Go by the house. I mean, her mother still lives there, right?
Millie? Yeah.
Okay. You want me to go with you?
No. It's my mess. I'll clean it up.
Tell me the truth, Claire. Why are you here? You checking up on the old man?
No. Can a daughter just drop in on her father unannounced? I worry about you. Since Mom's gone and the company's not around, you just seem planless. You always have a plan.
I'm fine.
That fine sounds very unconvincing to me. You're not fine. You're living off of cereal and Japanese takeout.
Well, that is a good point. Tonight I order Italian.
What about a job?
What about it?
Well, I know it's a down economy and all, but I'm sure there's something you can do.
Well, my particular skills aren't really all that marketable.
That is not true. You were middle management of Primatech Papers for over 20 years.
During which time my skills consisted of lying to my family, breaking down doors, bagging and tagging.
On the plus side, you are a people person. Look. Ooh. Lumber salesman. Minimum 5 years sales experience. Ta-da.
You do know that was a cover, right? I never actually sold anything.
Yes, but you don't have to admit to that. Okay, say you're at the interview, and I'm the interviewer, and you're the interviewee.
Are we really?
Tell me, Mr. Bennett, what do you think your greatest strength as a salesman is?
Well, if they won't buy from me, I can always just shoot them.
Nathan's at an expensive-looking house.
Nathan Petrelli.
Millie.
What are you doing here?
Reminiscing about Kelly. I happen to be in the neighborhood. Thought I'd stop by and say hello.
That calls for a drink. What can I get you?
Oh, nothing. I'm fine, thanks.
Sit down, Nathan.
Thanks.
Nobody ever talks to me about Kelly. Guess they figure it's a sore subject. Truth is, I'm made of sturdier stuff. So...
I was just going through some old things in my office. I started thinking about Kelly. Just got to wondering if you...
If I'd heard from her? Well, I wish I could say that I have. Wish I could say that all this time she's been living in the south of France, that she became an artist, that she has a daughter named Françoise.
Do you ever wonder if maybe she didn't run away?
To be perfectly honest, there was a time when I thought maybe you knew more than you were saying. After all, we were away that weekend, but you were in town, Nathan. And I knew that you and Kelly had been seeing each other. I never told your mother, but I hired a private investigator. Turns out you're in the clear. Kelly, in fact, used her credit card to buy a one-way ticket to London Heathrow, where she claimed her checked baggage, and no one has seen or heard from her since.
You think it's possible something else might have happened, Millie?
Trust me, I've been over this ad nauseum. Kelly was willful and spiteful and full of herself. Add to that, me not being the most attentive of mothers. No wonder she ran off.
Nellie sips at her drink.
I've got a hair, nail, and body sculpting thing, and I don't want to be late.
I understand.
So you'll show yourself out?
Of course.
Nellie walks off and Nathan sighs heavily. He makes his way across the sunlit garden to the swimming pool. He stands at the edge of it, then reaches out his hand to touch a sculpture. Immediately, he's taken back to his night by the pool with Kelly.
Here you go.
Broke out the good stuff.
I've already had too much. And my mom would kill me if she found out.
There's no way she'll find out.
You're right. You know, my folks won't be back until Monday.
Is that an invitation?
Do you want it to be?
I don't know.
You've been drinking. I wouldn't want to take advantage.
Don't be such a prude.
She runs off.
You want it, Nathan? Come and get it.
Back in the present, a bewildered-looking Nathan crouches down beside the old diving board. He rests his palm on the surface, then in a flashback, Kelly's backing away from him along the diving board.
Come on, Nathan. Come and get it.
You better give me that.
Come and get it.
Give me.
No. Oh!
They both fall into the water, but Kelly slams her head on the poolside. Nathan sees her floating face down.
No!
Later in a bar.
You wanted to see me?
Millie called. Chardonnay. She said you came to her asking questions about Kelly. Do you have any idea what your trip down memory lane is doing to that poor woman? Thank you.
Kelly didn't disappear. She died. I was there. What I want to know is why I can't remember any of it.
How would I know?
Because every time there's a secret buried someplace, I find you with a shovel behind your back.
You should write Mother's Day cards.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this one way or the other so you can tell me or...
Fine, I took care of it. And you don't need to know the details.
You made sure I wouldn't remember anything, didn't you?
You were drunk and foolish, so yes, I took care of it, all of it. I had the Haitian wipe your memory, I disposed of her body, I bought the plane ticket to London.
It was an accident.
No, it didn't look like one, dear. So what would you have me do? Her death would have ruined your life.
I'm just waiting for the part that makes any of this okay.
I made a choice to protect my son. You want to vilify me for that? Fine. I have been vilified for so much less, but please, Nathan, don't destroy yourself over this.
So what, you're going to have your old friend Millie go on believing that her daughter ran away because she was a bad mother?
Yes. Millie has made her peace with this. I suggest you do the same.
She kisses him on the forehead.
I'll be in touch.
Did you forget something?
Something I need to tell you, Millie. And I'm not sure how to do it.
You all right, Nathan?
Look, I can't tell you how I know this, but I'm not really sure I should.
What are you talking about? Say it.
Kelly didn't run away. She died. And I was there. It was an accident. And it was my fault.
She got on a plane.
There's no plane ticket. She died, Millie. And the whole thing's covered up by my family.
What kind of twisted, pathetic game are you playing?
I'm just trying to tell you the truth for once.
I think you should leave. Please. Go.
He walks towards the door, but stops and looks back at her.
I'm sorry.
She looks at him stony-faced as he lets himself out.
So you never answered the question. Greatest strength.
Greatest strength. Well, I would have to say that above all else, I am the company man. You won't find anybody more dedicated to his job than me.
See, that's perfect. What lumber company wouldn't want to hire you?
Yep, I'm a real people person.
What's the matter?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, you know, kind of sad when you look back on your life and you realize it hasn't amounted to much.
What are you talking about? Your whole life has been about trying to help people.
Has it? Because all I see is pain. I shot them. Cuffed them, locked them up, wiped their memories. But I don't remember actually helping anybody.
That's not true. You've helped plenty of people.
Yeah, name one.
Me.
They share a loving smile, then he leans forward and kisses her forehead affectionately.
Life changes. We all change. Sometimes you have to remember who you were to figure out who you want to be.
Why do I suddenly feel like you're the parent and I'm the kid?
We'll take turns.
Yeah.
So, you don't really want to sell lumber, huh?
Nope, not at all.
Kimiko pops her head into the office and says, Ando, good news. Hiro says yes.
Ando-kun, yokatta.
Once she's gone, Hiro appears, his face and clothes stained with toner. Ando tries to question him, but he says, not now, Ando, I'm exhausted. Ando asks, why do you have ink on your face and clothes? Where have you been? Time traveling, he replies, trying to save Tadashi's life, but every time I come back, he just does it again. Ando says, you're avoiding the issue. You need to accept reality. It's time to tell Kimiko the truth. Hiro wearily answers the phone and says, Tadashi, you on the roof? Be right there. Ando asks him, where are you going? What about Kimiko? Hiro watches her for a moment, then sadly walks off. He's sitting on the edge of the roof with Tadashi, who tells him, when my family heard why I got fired, they were so ashamed. Hiro says, I know, I tried to help you many, many times, but nothing seems to work. You keep on making the same mistake. Tadashi replies, how come I don't remember any of that? It doesn't matter, says Hiro. I think it's time that both of us face the truth. First of all, you must really hate your job. Nobody copies their butt 47 ways without wanting to get fired. My advice, find something you love to do. Then it doesn't feel like work. Tadashi sighs and says, maybe it is true. I always thought I could do more with my life. Hiro continues, secondly, life is a gift, precious and short, not wasted by jumping off a roof. What makes you such an expert? Tadashi asks. Because I'm dying, Hiro tells him. I've been keeping it a secret. Which brings me to my third point. Don't keep secrets from those you love, especially not family. With a smile, Hiro gets to his feet, saying, it's time for both of us to accept the truth. Tadashi asks, but what if I'm not ready? Hiro replies, you'll be fine, Tadashi. Just remember, you'll always have a friend waiting for you up in heaven. You're my friend? Asks Tadashi. Hiro replies, I am. They shake hands and Tadashi thanks him and bows respectfully.
Arigato, Hiro-san.
Hiro walks slowly back to the office. Ando comes out to speak to him, and Hiro says calmly, you were right, my friend. It's time for acceptance. I need to tell Kimiko the truth. Ando asks if he's sure, and Hiro says he is. Then he knocks at the door of Kimiko's office. Where have you been? She asks. On the roof, he replies, having an epiphany. There is something I need to tell you. She asks, what's going on? He replies, I have so many stories to share with you, Kimiko. I just hope I have time to tell you them all. I don't understand, she says. outside the office and O watches them. He sees Kimiko fall into Hiro's arms. Hiro says, "I'm so sorry." Then he gets a sudden pain in his head. He grimaces, clutching his temples. Ando rushes in and asks if he's okay, and Hiro replies, "Fine." Kimiko cries, "Something's wrong. Call an ambulance." Seconds later, Hiro suddenly vanishes, leaving them both in shock. Tracy finds Noah in a local restaurant.
Fancy meeting you here. Am I that predictable?
You live upstairs. How are you?
Okay. So what brings you to my neighborhood?
I got my old job back with Governor Maldon.
Well, that was quick. Good for you. Let's celebrate. I'll buy you a tuna roll.
Yeah, I'm not really hungry.
So why are you here?
I don't know.
You got your life back, Tracy, and that's what you wanted, isn't it?
It just feels like something's missing. Something needs to change.
Well, you got a job in government. That's a good start.
Please, Maldon isn't about helping people.
Then quit.
I can't. Do you know how many people would kill for my position?
Life changes, Tracy. We have to change with it. Maybe you just can't go home again. Maybe you have to remember who you were to figure out who you want to be.
She considers his words for a moment.
Oh, I gotta go. I have a dinner with Maldon and I can't be late. Thanks for the advice, though.
Anytime.
She makes her way out. Later that evening, Tracy enters a plush restaurant. The governor rises to greet her as she walks in.
Oh, I can't tell you how great it is to have you back, Trace. I missed you.
It's nice to be missed.
Yeah. Cosmo, still your drink? Mm-hmm. Cosmo. Look at us, huh? Just like old times.
Kind of. This job, I want it to be more. I want to set agendas. Help people who can't help themselves.
So much for small talk.
I want a job where I'm making a real difference in people's lives.
Trace, you don't have to work so hard to impress me. We both know what you bring to the table. I tell you what. Why don't we skip dinner? Let's go upstairs. Make each other happy. Just like old times.
Will you excuse me for a moment?
Sure, yeah. Well, don't be long.
She enters the ladies' room and stands at the mirror, looking distraught. As her panic increases, her hands begin to liquefy as she holds them over a wash basin. The door opens and an elegant, dark-skinned woman walks in. Tracy holds her hands behind her back and smiles as the woman passes her. As she brings her hands out in front of her, they've returned to normal. Composing herself, Tracy walks back out.
There you go. Everything okay, baby?
No. No, everything's not okay.
I don't understand.
I wouldn't expect you to.
She strides out of the restaurant, head held high. Nathan parks his car in an underground car park. He turns off the engine and sits for a moment before making a call on his mobile.
Hello, yes, I'd like to speak with someone in the homicide division. Yeah, hold.
Then, as if thinking better of it, he sighs and closes his phone. As he gets out of his car and starts walking off, a man leaps out behind him and stabs him in the neck. He falls to the ground. At the Sullivan Brothers Carnival, Lydia walks over to Edgar and sits down with him.
I've been looking for you. What's the matter? You are thinking about something. Is it the new people Samuel's bringing into the family?
You think he'd be bringing in more if Joseph was alive?
I don't know. It was his brother, and he has a right to his revenge.
No matter what it means for the rest of us.
I'll tell you what it means. I'm the one who's left to make all the decisions for this family. I'm the one that decides which direction we travel.
We were just talking, is all.
He holds out his hand to her.
Come with me. Time to find another.
Edgar throws his curved knife at a board in fury.
You know you can tell me anything, don't you?
Of course.
If anyone tells you they're dissatisfied with me, if you're dissatisfied...
I'm not dissatisfied.
Good.
She lowers her top, and he begins daubing her back with ink. A tattoo of Noah's face appears.
What are you doing? Why are you showing him to me?
I show you what you need to see.
Why would I need to see Bennett? He retired. He's no longer interested in us.
He may have changed his mind.
Noah's pinning up pictures of Edgar and the compass symbol on a notice board. He's holding a sheaf of papers, one of which is the journal's front page, bearing the headline, "The Compass That Changed the World," in a restaurant.
Nathan seemed very confused. Wanted to make sure I heard his side of the story. It was upsetting, to say the least.
Well, Nathan has always been overly theatrical. You know, I'm sure that's why he's drawn to the spotlight of politics. What exactly did he say? I feel so silly telling you this.
No, please. He's my son. I want to know.
He said that Kelly was dead. That he was with her when she died. I told him no. She bought a ticket, got on a plane, never looked back.
Millie, I am so sorry that he bothered you with this. Nathan just hasn't been himself lately.
You know how much I've always cared for Nathan.
I apologize for his behavior. No one should have to go through that pain twice.
I can honestly say, I don't care anymore. I just hope Kelly's happy. I think that's about as close to closure as I'm ever going to get. Would you excuse me just one second? Hello?
Package is delivered.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Something important?
Not at all.
Good.
Where were we?
Closure.
Of course. To closure.
To closure.
The hitman who tranquilized Nathan has shot him, then buried him. After his call to Nellie, he drives away from the grave. A hand shoots out of the earth, then Sila emerges from the grave, covered in dirt and gasping for air. To be continued.